Hello, my name is Pastor Mark Sturmer with the Church International, and I would just like to say welcome to our podcast. I know God wants to use this to speak something very positive into your life. I know this will encourage you, help you grow in your walk with the Lord. And look, if you enjoy this, leave a review, make sure you share it with someone, and go ahead and subscribe so that you won't miss out on any of the messages that God wants to communicate to you. Well, look, God bless. Get ready, lean in, and watch what the Lord is about to do.
Wow, what a night so far. Come on, have y'all been enjoying this tonight? So excited to have my Sarah up here. Come on, y'all, give it up for Sarah Sturmer Brock. Yeah, so hey, what'd y'all think about that game? Did y'all get some good gut laughs? No, yeah, I was laughing so hard. So I hope you enjoyed that. And there is a point to that. You know, you think about that. Why do people participate in a game? Well, one, some of them were voluntold. No, I did ask. Okay, but why do you participate in the game? One, because you think it's fun or you want to win. Right? Come on. Anybody in here? Yeah, okay. So I know, or a race. I mean, why do you participate in a race? Because you think it's fun or you want to win. Okay, so Sarah and I participated in a race recently.
We did. We did a mud run. Sorry, y'all. I'm like still whooped for worship. Right. We did and I stink. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm sweating everywhere.
It's okay. Hey, we're like sitting on earthworms and pork and beans.
Oh, God.
So it's okay.
Probably stepped all over. Ooh, I do have pork and beans on my shoe. It's fine. We did a mud run, which is very out of character for the both
and
of us.
And look, we have, here's a picture.
This is our fantastic
Come
group.
On, if you ran this run, give a shout out. Some of y'all are in here.
Now, we have two pictures. And first of all, to not spoil it, can we show Mom's picture first, please? Can we show, this is Mom. Mom's just like, woo!
I was laughing. Because that's like my go-to. Laugh. It's my go-to.
That's not my go-to. You can show my picture now. We didn't have the, I've had a long-term hate relationship with mud. Anyway. But we did it.
Yeah, we did do it. And you may ask, why did we do it? You know, when I got to that first mud pit, y'all, like, I'm looking at it, and I said, this was the stupidest idea. And there's Amber and Rachel Hooper, and they're like, oh. I'm like, y'all are sick. Like, something's wrong
Kevin
with y'all.
Kevin said I looked like a cat being lowered into bath water. I wish I would have thought to show the video, but, like, every time I would
post
come
it.
Up to a mud.
Post it
yeah,
later.
I have to post it.
Y'all check
every
it out.
Every time I'd come up to a mud thing, he said my hands would just go like this. But you could see it in the video. I'd walk up, and I'd go,
So it was really disgusting, but, you know, why did we do it? We did it because God wanted to get something out of us. There was something in both of us that God wanted to remove, and this was to be part of our story. It was to be part of our race. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about just keep running, just keep running.
Running, running, running. What do? We run.
Come on, y'all. Sing it with us. Come on. Just keep running. Just keep running. Running, running, running. What do? We run. All right. Y'all got it. Okay. So when I think of racing, I think of winning. Anyone else? Like, everything's a competition. Me and my husband, everything is a competition. Like, everything, okay? And so when I think of racing, I think of winning, and it is backed up in the scriptures. We see 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. So it's biblical. I'm kidding. It goes on. It says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. So they do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So what he's saying right here is there's more to a race than just winning. Okay, and so Paul emphasizes the way you compete is very important in verse 26. Therefore, I run in such a way as not to run aimlessly. I box in such a way as to avoid hitting air. Their boxing is in the Bible, I guess MMA too, okay, if anyone questioned that. But I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So Paul is saying our life, he's comparing our life as a race. And he's like, you don't just run to win. Yeah, you need to run to win, but how you run matters. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to disqualify yourself. You're going to ruin your witness. You know, maybe you're going to mess up your purpose or how God wants to move you. How I run matters.
Yeah. And not only how we run matters, but also what race we run in matters. That is she gave me the tongue tie. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, Forrest Gump said that his mama told him life is like a box of chocolates. I'm here to tell you, life is like raising a toddler, okay? Because you don't know what the day today is going to bring you, and if you have ever seen my children dressed questionably, it is because we have picked our battles for the day, and I decided that wearing rubber boots to church or wearing a character dress to a wedding does not matter in the long run.
But they're there.
Like, yeah.
You didn't forget them at home.
Yeah.
Like I did.
So that's good. So we're winning. But why? Because if I'm trying to choose my battles wisely. Why? So I can be a mother that endures. Because if we're constantly picking the wrong battles, picking the wrong race, we're going to run out of steam. And that's why he says it's not only how you run, but which ones that you run in is very important.
And honestly, your race is going to look different than mine.
Yeah.
You know, we're going in the same direction, but our race, you know, kind of like track, you have like 400 meter, you know, 800 meter, 1600 meter, 3200 meter. And so they're all races and they all have a start and a finish line, but they're different races with different rules.
You will not catch me running a race, that's for sure.
Okay, so we've got to be okay with that, that, you know, I have to be okay that my race doesn't look like Michelle's race.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa. We need to be okay with that. But the question is, why did we run the mud run when we hate mud? I can't say I hate mud, but getting in mud.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
It.
I was determined to not let my eyes, my face get in the mud. Like, couldn't handle that. Anyway, so why did we run? So this is how it happened. We're at the house. We're having family dinner. And Sarah and I are standing at the island. I don't know why we stand at the island and never sit at the island. We do that at Tina's, too. I'm like, why you even have stools? Anybody else do that? You stand at the island? Yeah, okay. No, yeah, we're weird. All right. So we stand at the island, and she says, hey, Mom, I'm going to do this. And she shows me the video of the Mud Girl run. And my response was, do you want to?
She was like, you? Doing that? I was like, yes. To be fair, Mom was not, by far, not the only person that responded that way. They were like, Sarah? Sarah Brock? You? You're gonna?
Anyway, so she said that, and so immediately I said, oh, that seems fun. I want to do it. I'm inviting myself to run this with your friends. Like, can I come? And she's like, yeah, sure. And so as soon as I signed up and I paid the money, you know, something started to, like, rise up. You know when you get that feeling like you feel like you're going to vomit or something? Like, something was going on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, gosh, God's about to make me vomit something up. Like, this is more than just a little fun run. There's something God wants to get out of me. So the next morning while I was meditating and praying, because I really thought, ooh, when I'm running this race, God's going to give me some amazing revelation or whatever, you know. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, wow, I couldn't wait. The next morning, like 8 hours later, I'm writing about it. And I said, God, what is this? This yuckiness that I feel in me? That's all I can call it, yuckiness. What is it? And the Lord, Holy Spirit, it's almost like he wrote through my hand. Immediately he said, I'm going to get this out of you and this out of you. And I wrote it, and I start to cry. And so the Lord was like, I'm getting the fear of failure out of you and the fear of disappointment out of you. Because I had a fear of failing and disappointing others. Like, I don't mind making a fool of myself and falling and tripping or looking silly doing a dance. I'm like, haha, yeah, I'm goofy like that. But I do not want to disappoint those that matter the most to me. I don't want to disappoint my Father. So immediately the Lord was like, bam. And even on the run, I thought, you know, like I'm running going, is this it, Lord? You know, is this it? I'm like in tune with the Holy Spirit the whole time, like trying to figure out what is it? And God was like, I already told you. I already told you.
On the contrary, I was not in tune with the Holy Spirit the whole race. Homegirl was just trying to survive. But I actually was struggling with some of the same things, except I didn't have a fear of disappointment. I knew I was going to be a disappointment. I told my husband, I said, listen, babe, I just want to let you know you will be disappointed. You might be embarrassed. I'm just hoping to do one impressive thing. And I think I did two. So I was like, woohoo. But I also was having a fear, really of like the perfectionism and me not wanting to do something that was outside of my comfort zone. Cause I mean, you put this in mud and there is no control whatsoever, like no control. And so that was my, oh my God, if I got there, I'm going to be the weakest link of the group because I'm the biggest of the group and I'm not actively training. But I knew that the Lord wanted me to do it, to push past. So the whole time I was out there, I was one of the weaker people, but it put me into perspective that it wasn't about how I felt, but it was about pushing past that and what I was going to feel on the other side when I accomplished it.
Amen. Amen. I want to share a little nugget with you. I recently read one of Chris Kane's latter. I think it's her most recent book. How Did I Get Here? And she had this quote, and I was like, ooh. She said, did you know caring too much about what people think of us can be a sign of control? Another way we can start controlling is when we shift our trust from God to leaning into our own abilities, talents, or gifts. You know, it was so funny. I signed up for the race, and I've been asked to do races before, but I only run because I have to. I don't run for fun, like, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. So I signed up, and I said, oh, I'm going to train. I'm going to go swim at Lisa's. I'm going to be ready, you know. And I pulled my glute. I couldn't even work out. Like, all I could do was curls, you know. And so with the Lord, it was just another layer. Sometimes we think, you know, especially people that are strong and, you know, you have a lot of gifts and talents, abilities, and you're like, oh, I'm doing a lot. I'm doing a lot. Look at everything I'm doing. But you're doing it in your own strength. Yeah. What I have found true to be in my life and so many others is God's going to get you to go just a little bit past that. Yeah. So then when you get it done, you can say, it was not me. It was all the Holy Ghost. But because Sarah and I were really dealing with the same thing, it kind of made me wonder, man, is this like monkey see, monkey do? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to the Mother's Day message. Like, you know, both of us were having like almost the same exact thing that God was trying to get out of us. And when it came down to it, I realized it wasn't just a me problem and a Sarah problem or a Hannah problem. This is a woman problem. Come on, who wants to be honest in the room and say you fear with perfectionism?
Yeah.
I mean, you struggle with that. It is a big woman problem.
So as we kind of reflected on it, because Mom does so great, like, asking us, she's like, hey, did I project this onto you? Or, you know, and so as we talked about, like you said, we looked, we're like, okay, if all of women in some way, shape, or form struggle with this, where does this come from? And we went all the way back to the garden. And, you know, Eve is called the mother of humanity. And as we were talking through it, we're like, whoa. So here we are in the garden, okay? Life is literally perfect. And Eve is tempted. She falls. Adam falls. And when God comes into the garden and they hide, and then, you know, y'all know the story. But when God asks them, where are you? Why are you hiding? Immediately, Adam goes, it was her. And so in her moment of great failure, her husband throws her under the bus. He takes no ownership. He does not cover his wife. And then if you fast forward, what is woman's curse? One of the curses is that we would crave or desire our husband. We would desire to be covered by him. We would desire to be loved by him. And so it's so crazy because here, I mean, we still joke, at least I joke. I'm like, I have to do this laundry because Eve done stumbled up in the garden. And now we got these loads of laundry.
Can you imagine the dysfunction in their house after that?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you look at their kids and you can't imagine it.
They needed some counseling after that. But so here we have Eve, okay? And she has stemmed a lot more than sin. Like, we're still reeling from the effects of what the mistake Eve made and then Adam not covering her. But then on the other end of the spectrum, we have the Proverbs 31 woman. And I really feel like as women, we hang in the balance in between these two pivotal women in Scripture. Because if you want to pay a Christian woman a compliment, you call her Proverbs 31. Girl, you such a Proverbs 31 woman. And you're like, thank you. So like all 20 verses, 21 verses are just like one of them. But if you look, y'all know what I'm saying.
She was making that, she was weaving that
yeah.
stuff.
But the problem is we compare ourselves to her and we feel like, oh my God, I don't milk my own cows. I don't make my own clothes. I'm not a stay-at-home mom. I'm not a career woman. But if you look at the scripture of Proverbs 31 in today's light, you are more than likely doing everything that she did in her time. She couldn't run to Rouse's and get ground meat if she wanted to make tacos. But you know what? However she got her meat, she got it, she did it. If you run to Rouse's and you go pick up a pack of ground beef, you are being a Proverbs 31 woman because you are taking care of your children. You are feeding your household.
Thank you, Jesus, for Rouse's.
Yes.
Come on.
You know, it says she works as her family slept, she took care of them. How many of you mamas, we put our kids to bed, we feed our husband, and then we're doing the dishes, we're doing the laundry. Like, so I want to challenge and encourage you to go look at her and stop comparing yourself to the Old Testament way of living and look at it through a modern day living. Because God is calling us to be beyond Eve and step into that.
Amen. You see, the expectation of perfection can keep you from moving forward. Yeah. And most of the times, we put that expectation on ourselves.
Yeah.
Most of the time. You know, the desire to be excellent and pleasing actually, though, isn't wrong. Okay, because excellence, having the heart of excellence is a good thing. Excellence and perfection is not the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's a problem when pleasing people supersedes pleasing the Father.
Yeah.
That's where our heart needs to be. It's also a problem when you're doing it for your own trophy.
Yeah.
Or if it keeps you from moving forward.
Yeah.
Because you think, like, this is the mark that I need to be at, and I can't meet it, so why even try? Or you feel like, if I do try and I mess it up, I can't stand that either. Okay, so we need to be very careful with that. So I want to ask you, are the what ifs keeping you from stepping out? The what ifs is in the unknown. Maybe, you know, you desire to, you know, go and interview for this job that's going to provide more for your family, but you're like, oh, I have this security here, I don't know. And you feel the Lord prompting you, but you're just so secure right here, you know. What ifs are holding you back from stepping out? Or maybe you feel like, you know, you've been dealing with this shame. Maybe you've hurt someone and you know you need to go and apologize and talk, but you just don't know if they're going to be explosive or, you know the conversation. You're thinking they're going to do it.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the what ifs that's stopping you from stepping out? You know, if I think of anyone in Scripture to me that just move past the what ifs the best, that would be Peter. There Peter was. All the disciples had gone ahead and left Jesus. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And he said, y'all go ahead. And so they got in the boat and Jesus went and prayed. And when they're in the boat, they had paddled about 3 to 4 miles out, and a wind, strong wind was going. And when I think of this scripture, I think of Lake Maurepas. Has anyone been on Lake Maurepas in a storm? Y'all, that's like the Pacific Ocean. Sammy Baso almost killed me on that Lake Maurepas. just to go get fried fish. Jesus, that was some good fried fish, though.
Middendorf's is worth it.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I'm picturing. It's a bad storm, and then the disciples look out, and they see somebody walking on the water. Right there, we've been like, we dead, Sammy. There is an angel, and the angel has come. We dead. But they're like, oh, my gosh, and they were frightened. And so this is in Matthew 14 and verse 27. It says, immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter responded and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But seeing the wind, and listen, I've been saved over 28 years. And this verse right here, most of the messages I've heard about this passage is on this verse. So listen up. But seeing the wind, he, Peter, became frightened, and when he began to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so most of the times we hear all the messages of, you know, you've probably heard, if you've been in church a while, you've heard them. Yeah. Well, he took his eyes off of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was looking at the wind. Okay, or on the other end, oh, well, you shouldn't wait until you sink him before you cry out. Peter should have cried out before. Okay? All right? So you hear all those, but tonight I want to focus on something different. Okay? I want to focus on his courage. Yeah. I want to focus on his courage. Can you imagine how much courage it took Peter to step out of that boat? How many what ifs he had to move past? We don't even know if he could swim.
Listen, I can, and I would not jump into Lake Maurepaw on a sunny day, so I can't even imagine.
Yeah, all the what ifs. And I don't know about you, but I could say I probably have some irrational fears, you know? And jumping out of a sound boat to walk on water is very rational.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very rational, very excusable, but Peter did it. He did it. Y'all, and it's so easy, I want to tell you this. You know, we read in that verse 30 that he sunk. It's so easy for us to focus on his failure.
Yeah.
But guess what? He was the only one that got out of the boat.
Yep.
He was the only one that got out of the boat. And I know this, just because of the totality of the word, yeah. I think Jesus was not focusing on his failure,
yeah.
But he was focusing on his step.
Yeah.
That he was willing to move towards him.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when your kid starts walking, you know, of course, they're going to fall. Like, so many times they're going to fall. But as a mother, we're not upset when they stumble. We're not upset when they fall. We're so proud of them for taking that step. And I really believe, like, and I love, if you read the totality of it, you can hear Jesus's tone. It's like that caring, like, why did you doubt? Didn't you know I was going to catch you? Like, when my child gets upset because, you know, she falls, I'm like, but I caught you. And that's what Jesus, I feel like he focused in on there, was that he was just so proud of him for stepping out.
Amen. And so tonight what we want to do is we want to give you six things to think about. And I really feel like the Lord is going to stir something if you're listening. Allow the Lord to stir something in you that he wants to take out. And so how can we make sure to not get stuck in a place we shouldn't be and to just keep running in the direction God wants us to be? Okay, because listen, a race is one direction. There's only one direction if you want to win. Okay, so we need to be running in the right direction. So how can we make sure not get stuck? Number one, you have to choose it. You have to choose to run this race. You need to step towards Jesus. Can I throw something out here? Peter was actually moving from one frightening place to another frightening place.
Yeah.
They were frightened in the boat. It was like Lake Maurepaw. Okay? They were frightened in the boat. But to walk on water, oh my gosh, that's like really frightening. The only difference between the two is one was closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get so comfortable with our fears. You know, they like that baby. You're like, oh, yeah, I know this fear.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't need it. What Jesus is asking of me, No, I'm going to keep this baby fear. We get so comfortable with our fears that we miss being in the presence of Jesus, where he wants to be right next to him in his will for our life, because that's the safest place. And really, you have to do this. You've got to trust that Jesus is going to catch you.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus actually said, take courage, don't be afraid. Okay, courage is not the absence of fear. Okay, as John Wayne says, it's being scared to death and saddling up anyway. It's just like the tightrope artists. They tell you that they train fear like a muscle. We need to do the same thing. So my question to you today is fear holding you back? Is something holding you back today?
The second thing is we have to pay for it. We paid to enter that mud run, believe it or not. I had some people ask me, you paid to do that? I was like, yes, ma'am, I did. But making Jesus Lord of your life means that your life is no longer your own. And so that's why it says to daily we lay ourselves down and we take up our cross, because he's going to ask us to face some ugly things in our life. And as long as we are continually laying ourselves down and taking him up, we will have the ability to face that. And the third thing is we train for it. I did not train for this mud run. I said, I am going as I am, and I will conquer as I am, unlike other people. But that's their run. So in life, we have to train ourselves. Just like she said, like sometimes fear is just easy to keep because it's familiar to us. But the moment that the Holy Spirit rises up in you and you kick that fear out of your life, it's going to come back knocking. And if we don't train ourselves and ask the Lord, Lord, reveal it to my mind and heart so when I see it, I recognize it and boot it back out.
Come on.
And so we have to stay in the Word, in the presence of God. And we have to train ourselves so that we don't allow that back in. And if you don't know how to do that, Pastor Mark has put together a beautiful library of how to spend time with God, how to meditate on the Word, and you can find that all in the app. But it is so crucial for us to run this race well, and that's by training our mind and our spirit.
Amen, amen. The fourth thing is you need to run in it. You can't get the medal if you didn't run. Okay, you got to run in it. Listen, don't let the unknown outcome cripple you. Failure or success. Again, we can hold ourselves back by fearing failure. Okay, well, listen, if you don't attempt it, you're not going to succeed either. So you'll have nothing. But I love how, you know, when Jesus said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? How do you hear it? Like, do you hear it as a, oh, you a little faith, what's wrong with you? I just fed 5,000 people. Why could you not believe me? Or maybe you hear him say it like this. Peter, what happened? Man, I believed in you. Yeah. I called you. What? Come on, man. Come on. Let me get you out. Come on. You did great. It's a great job stepping out. Yeah. What do you think you're going to hear from the Lord? You know, you can't tell me that Jesus did not know that Peter could not walk on water. He knew Peter, what Peter could and couldn't do. He knew that it was not humanly possible for him to walk on water, yet he said, come to me, come to me. Are you telling me that God does not know what you cannot do?
Yeah.
When he asks you to step out, when he asks you to step forward, when he asks you to, you know, call that friend that you hadn't heard from in a long time to share the gospel with him, you're like, oh, I don't know. Do you not know that God knows? He knows what you can and cannot do. And so listen, you just got to move past that. You got to move past that, amen? And so the fifth thing that you must do so you don't get stuck is you have to endure through it. Oh, look to your neighbor and say, endure.
Endure.
Oh, and look to your other neighbor and say, I really don't like that word. Come on, who likes that word? Nobody. You know, there's this ultra marathon in Melbourne, Australia, that they run. It is 543.7 miles. It's like four marathons a day, I think, something like that, you know. And so anyway, it was back in 1983, this guy shows up, and he really just looked like a spectator until he walks up to the table to sign up. And everyone's like, what are you doing? This guy's name was Cliff Young. OK, Okay, he didn't look like anyone else. He showed up in overalls, work boots, and rain galoshes. And then he left his false teeth at home because he said they rattle when he runs. He was 61 years old, and he was a potato farmer, and he raised sheep. He didn't train like anyone else. He was 61 years old. Sorry, y'all, if y'all are 60. I know some of y'all can run, probably still run a marathon. I don't know about ultramarathon. He didn't train like anyone else. He just showed up. He was a farmer. He had sheep. Okay. He didn't even know the rules. So these runners train to run 18 hours, and then they sleep six. The first 2 days, he slept maybe 2 or 3 hours because he didn't know the rules. He didn't run like anyone else. He had like a little shuffle. But you know what? That this man surpassed them all. And y'all can look it up to hear the rest of the story. He actually changed how he ran the race. He changed the race forever. Now the runners only sleep 2 to 3 hours a night, and they run the rest of the way. And they run like him, okay? But when questioned, when they asked him, because everybody was surprised, he was surprised. He was like, wait, I'm in the lead? What? You know, he was just so excited. But they said, how'd you do it? He said, well, I just never stopped. I kept going. He kept running, and he kept pressing on. And he said, you know, they're like, well, how did you do this with so little sleep? He said, well, I just pretended like I was running after sheep like I did when I was a little boy. So in his mind, he was pretending that. He remembered if he could do it then, he could do it again. So how do you endure? You remember the thousands of other times. Yeah. That Jesus has rescued you and rescued others. And know that he will do it again. So you just keep running. You just keep running. You just keep running. And you just keep pressing on.
So good. And the sixth way tonight is you have to team play it. You can't do this on our own. You know, like she mentioned with the Olympics earlier, like there are some games in the Olympics that you cannot compete on your own or you will lose. And, you know, at the mud run, there were strange women touching our butts. And we were touching strange women's butts because that was the only way. The only way that we could get each other up and out of the pit was literally we had to do like this because everybody's wet and full of mud. This and pick them up out the mud. And, you know, my little sister Mercy came with us. Mercy's 16. She weighs about 35 pounds when she's soaking wet wearing a parka. And my head alone weighs 35 pounds. Homegirl came with us. And by looking at her outer looks, I'm like, there is no way she's going to be able to help anybody do anything. Can I tell you, out of all the people in our group, I think Mercy picked up the most people. And the thing that the Lord showed me this morning, he was like, do not judge someone's inner strength by their outward appearance.
Come on.
Because me, as her older sister and much larger sister, I had the appearance that I could hold my own. And I got to that last pit, and I could not pull myself up. And my little sister, we have it on video, she gets up under me and push me up out of there. You think you might be able to do it on your own, but you can't. There's going to come a day where you need somebody to tell you, girl, you got to get yourself out of this pit.
Yeah.
There was this one moment. I was the last one going through a pit, and Amber and Mia were at the top, and they were trying to help me up, and I couldn't get my footing. And so I went to say, I can't, and I couldn't finish my sentence. Before I could finish it, they go, yes, you can. I will come down there and get you. I said, I'm not quitting. I said, I can't get my foot in the socket. But in that moment, like, I looked up, and they weren't going to leave me. And we have to be surrounded by people that aren't going to leave us where we are.
Amen.
And listen, I've been there physically, spiritually. I've been so drained and like, I can't get myself up. And when I hear women say, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to have to keep texting you and telling you that I'm having a rough day. I should be over this. I'm like, please, for the love of heaven, surround yourself and be honest. Because we can't do it on our own. This race was, we were never meant to run this race on our own. So we have to team play it.
Amen. You know, to be able to do that, you've got to move past feeling insecure or threatened. You've got to move past that. We also can, I've seen this a lot, that people take their goal to be the best, and instead of that, it leads them to judging or competing with others. And they end up stepping on someone else's failure to make themselves look better. That's people that are going to make sure that they cling to people that aren't as mature as them. Maybe you're going to cling to people that are more messed up than you, so you feel better. Come on. I've been there. But really, the only way you grow is when you find that person that's more mature, the person that is really doing well, and you're saying, I need you to tell me the truth in my life. I need you to tell me to shut my mouth. You need someone in your life that's going to look at you and say, girl, you're not going to do that. I love you, and I'm not going to let you do that. I'm not going to let you quit. I'm not going to let you say that. I have people in my life. I remember I said something, and this woman, she said, girl, you can't say that. I said, I'm not saying it. I'm telling you so I don't say it to her. You've got to have people like that in your life. Listen, because as believers, it's not a competition. Listen, when you lose, I lose. Did you hear that? When you lose, I lose. You know, you see on social media, Christian leaders falling, doing something. It makes me want to vomit when Christians share that stuff. Because guess what? When they lose, you lose. But let me tell you what. When you win, I win. We've got to be there. Like grabbing each other. Like, no, we're going to win. Because I'm in this race. I want to win. Come on, who wants to win this race? Come on, I want everybody to stand up in here. Come on, we're going to conclude tonight. And I want to tell you this. Listen, I have failed. I have disappointed. Come on, who wants to be honest that you have failed? You've disappointed people. I've disappointed people. Listen, I know I'm going to fail again. I know I'm going to disappoint again. But I ain't quitting. Who wants to say that tonight? I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep pressing on. I want everybody to close their eyes in this place. If the Holy Spirit... the Holy Spirit is stirring something inside of you that you realize it needs to come out. Maybe whether it's a fear, maybe it's unforgiveness that is holding you back. Whatever it is, you feel it stirring in you, and you want to get rid of it tonight. You want to move past it tonight because you want to be able to move forward. I want to open these altars up, and I want you to get down here at these altars. We're going to pray with you. Come on, y'all move. Y'all move if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. We have people. We have leaders and pastors that are going to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, team. Just to bless you.
just want you to open your hands like you're receiving something. Just open your hands. I'm going to pray this scripture over you. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. God, we ask and we invite your searching gaze into our heart.
It's Jesus.
Jesus, examine me through and through. Find every single thing that may be hidden deep within me. Put me to the test and sift through all of my anxious, apprehensive, and bothered cares. See if there is any path of pain that I am walking in. And lead me back to your glorious and everlasting way.
Thank you, Jesus.
The path that brings me back to you.
Father, you see our hearts, oh God. God, we take a step closer to you. Jesus, we are moving to you. We are pressing on. We are pressing on. We are running to you, oh God. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us. Increase our faith, O Lord. Increase our courage, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Can everyone say amen, amen.